Hebrews chapter 11, from verses 8 to 12. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that his foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore.
This is our second Bible reading today is from Galatians chapter 4, reading from verse 21 to the end of the chapter. Galatians 4:21. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and one by a free woman. But the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through promise. Now this may be interpreted allegorically. These women are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Now Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, rejoice, O barren one who does not bear, bring forth and cry aloud, you who are not in labour. For the children of the desolate one will be more than those of the one who has a husband. Now you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. But just at this time, he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit. So also it is now. But what does the Scripture say? Cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. So, brothers, we are not children of the slave, but of the free woman. May the Lord bless us that reading.
We're going to look at some of the complexities of the difference between slavery and the freedom. I think it's probably timely also, we are going through Galatians, it's timely again to remind ourselves that this entire letter that Paul has written to the churches in Galatia, and of course to us, it is about the way of salvation, how salvation has been achieved. And if we call this letter complex in some manner or some way, it's merely due to the fact that we may not have fully understood the issues concerning the law and the freedom and how we differentiate and live by the two. This letter and the truth that Paul expounds in this letter is just, to me, so beautiful in its simplicity in how he teaches us. Let's seek guidance from his Holy Spirit that we may truly understand how we need to live our lives. Let's pray together. Our loving and gracious Father, we come to you to ask that you will truly guide us, reveal fully the truth to us in our hearts, that we will know where we do the wrong things and how we may change it, that we may live a better life tomorrow. We ask, Lord, that you will persevere with us through your love and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Starting with 21, tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you listen to the law? Well, his message in his letter to us in Galatia, but also our future churches from here on until to the end of the day, having moved from being a slave to sin and slave to the law that was at that time, and then we are then set free by Christ. But now they're turning from that freedom back to the law. Back to the law by listening to the Judaizers that claims the law still stands. That they have to abide by the law as well as Christ. So it's Christ plus. Paul is actually asking the people in Galatian churches, and of course you and I, are they truly listening? Meaning, in other words, are they reading and understanding the law in its detail, its minute detail, and the complication that that law will thrust into their lives, and the impossibility that it spells out to them, the impossibility of them ever being able to obey, adhere to all the laws, let alone just one, maybe even two of them. You and I could do worse in our lives than reflect on our own inability to adhere to the laws set out for us in the Ten Commandments. Try, be obedient to one. Would any of you, instead, on that side of it, would there be anyone in this room today willing to stand up before all and claim that they have and are obedient to those Ten Commandments? I'm obviously not asking you to stand up and say anything at the moment, but I would like to encourage each one of you to reflect on the complications that such a claim would bring to your life. In verse 22, splits humanity into two groups. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and one by a free woman. But the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through promise. Well, let's start at the end, the word promise. The promise was what was given to Abraham by God, and we have it in verse 16. The promises were spoken to Abraham and his seed. And we just read that Abraham had two sons, but with different women. Let me clarify that. In Romans 4:3, we also read, what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. So it is the belief and the faith that saved him, not his actions. So he believed God and trusted God implicitly. When God had informed him in Genesis 15:4, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, the man shall not be your heir, and your very own son shall be your heir. But we also had that in verse 6, that's the same as in Romans. And he believed the Lord and was counted to him as righteousness. Well, for clarity, then we should also talk about who is this man that Abraham thinks is going to inherit him. It actually refers to a servant called Eliezer. And it's not referring to the son he had with a slave woman. Sadly, it's after this time and history, this moment in time, that Sarah, who apparently had struggled to believe the word of God and the promise that she would have a son with Abraham, had told Abraham to go and have a child with Hagar, the slave woman. And he did. He's almost, Abraham, a reflection on our father Adam, joining his wife in doing what was wrong. Even if you and I still today know that this was well within the plan God had for him. We could sit here and say, of course, that Abraham really was a bit of a wimp, wasn't he? I mean, he really should have stood up and be a man. We could also ponder his behavior, but that's really not what this passage is about, is it? We can pass by that really quick. This is about the love, the grace, the mercy of God all the way through. His incredible and undying love for those he calls to be his, shown to us from Abraham all the way through to Moses and on to King David, and then from there on through Jesus into us. Showing us that even if we do claim that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and yet do not live up to that belief and witness for that belief, his love and mercy is still ours to be had, once he has called you to be his. Once he has given you to his son. Just think of that. He has given you, you are the gift from God to the son, Jesus. Get your head around that. You, a gift. Yeah. For him to then redeem you on the cross, and all being part of the assurance and salvation. Of course, our assurance rests in God's will alone, not yours. Salvation, as Paul teaches, is it always only about the love and the grace and the mercy of God, and not to be misunderstood as a reward for our good works. In verse 24 it says, now this may be interpreted allegorically. These women are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She's Hagar. And now Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother, of course being Sarah. And this is how now Paul, or God, splits humanity into the two groups, one of which are Hagar's descendants, and the other group is those of the promise, that is Abraham's spiritual children through Sarah. For it is written in Isaiah 54, rejoice, O barren one who does not bear, break forth and cry aloud, you who are not in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than those of the one who has a husband. Isaiah wrote this is verse 1, chapter 54, after he had finished writing chapter 53, which is all about Jesus Christ and his life, death and resurrection. And so warns us that the children of the slave woman will be more numerous than those of the promise. There will be more of them than of us. He's writing about the future church of Christ, and it is only be a remnant of the very few that will belong to the true church of Christ. The biblical metaphor that we have in places like Matthew 7:14, the wide road is the easy way that most people take, and they often wander off it and they get lost. The narrow road is the difficult way, chosen by relatively few. It is the good way and the only way that leads to heaven. We're talking about always the remnant. The remnant is only the few. Not only that, but Paul also adds persecution into this mix as well, so we get a clear understanding. It is that the children on the side of Hagar will persecute us in the same way that Ishmael, her son, had taunted Isaac, the spiritual son. They had a really bad relationship prior to being cast out of the fellowship. They were obviously turned out. Now, you brothers, like Isaac, are children of the promise, but just as at that time, he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so also it is now. Well, 4,000 years later or so, give or take, the situation we have is the same. Some of Ishmael's brothers and sisters, the Judaizers in this case in Galatia, have made their home with Isaac's family in the church. In the same way as we have false teachers, indeed we even have false churches claiming to belong to Christ, but are factually driving a wedge between us and trying to lead our people back into slavery. In verse 30 we read, but what does the scripture say? Cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. Paul certainly is not mixing his words here. God has given him some understanding that is beyond comprehension sometimes. He exhorts all future churches to do with the troublemakers what Abraham did to his firstborn son. Ishmael and his mother Hagar, was removed from the fellowship and only retained the fellowship he was to have there, the spiritual children of Abraham, the people of believing. Our challenge, obviously, today is that we may not know who is who in this particular matter. So we are called to persevere. We are called to teach, and to all those who choose to be in our fellowship. So if they choose to be with you here today, then we are indeed to persevere, to teach them. Teach them the complete and true word of God. And they will be, by their lives, they will reveal who they truly are, their true state and their spiritual maturity. We will see it. It will be obvious to us. Just keep in mind also that none of that is ever easy and is never without pain and suffering. Abraham, remember, had to turn out his firstborn son and the mother of his son. Would not have been easy. All of these events in the Galatian churches occurred 20 to 30 years after the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not many years. And there's nothing new in the world even today, 4,000 years, 2,000 years later. And obviously these things are, and we have been warned about them. In 2 Timothy 3:12 we are told, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted. And yet we're also encouraged by Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So we have warnings, but we have encouragement. We have assurances all the way through the Bible. Much of the same encouragement we have in 2 Corinthians 4, 8, 9. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed. So we do not lose heart, though the outer self is wasting away. The inner self is being renewed day by day. For the lightest momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. The complexity, the uncertainty that sometimes affect us, inflicted upon you by external forces, they are not from God. They are from the evil one who will be by deceit, try to destroy your faith and your trust in the Father and cause you to seek another truth, another comfort somewhere else. And a lot of this is about knowing the value of the unseen and not seek the refuge in what we see, what is existing, and not fall for the old saying that the world will give you, seeing is believing. Well, it's not true, is it? There's no doubt that some of this will flow into our churches over time, maybe even through the importing of the secular laws into regulations into our churches, and trusting a government we can see rather than a God that we know and we can trust. I compare this to the story of how you cook a frog. I don't know if you heard this one. If you throw a frog into boiling water, it immediately will hop out and save itself. However, if you place it in cold water and bring it to boil ever so slowly, the frog will fail to notice the change in time and will fall prey to its condition. Don't be a frog. They introduce little changes into our churches, little by little by little, and its pain is not so great. And all of a sudden, you're a frog. It's incumbent on us to be vigilant at all times, protecting what we have been given at such great cost to the Father God. Indeed, the life of his one and only Son, confirmed by the Apostle John in Revelation, that we need to be vigilant. I warn everyone who hears the word of the prophecy of this scroll, if anyone adds anything to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in this scroll. And if anyone takes words away from this scroll of prophecy, God will take away from that person any share in the tree of life in the holy city. Can't be stronger than that. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Paul also speaks of this seen and unseen in verse 25. Now Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children, but Jerusalem above is free. There is no one who can tell you with any certainty where Jerusalem above may eventually be. And I can tell you, Google doesn't even know. But seriously, we don't need to know. We don't even need to speculate on where that Jerusalem may or may not be, as it will be revealed fully on that day. I truly don't care where it is and where it will be. The only thing that matters to me and should matter to you is we'll be there on that day with him. As we had in 2 Corinthians 4:18, as we look not to the things seen that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For these are the seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. See, one complexity we should be aware of is the fact that we do have something that is seen. And that is part of it. It is also of eternal value to us. We have the Word of God in the Scriptures. Being the eternal, the inerrant, and the holy Word of God, speaking to us what is unseen by us, but was witnessed by many. And of course, we also have that through the guiding and the revelation of His Spirit living in your heart. Paul concludes this lesson to the churches he's writing to. So, brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave, but of the free woman. Moses also confirmed this in the minds of Israel way back in Deuteronomy 15. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. Therefore, I command you to this today. He commend you to stay within the faith that given to you. I also encourage you to remove the complexity and any doubt you may have out of your life and away from your faith, and retain and defend the simplicity, knowing you have been redeemed. You have been set free through the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. You have been forgiven. You have been found righteous through the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Anyone who has become God's own dear child needs to remember, never go back to slavery. You cannot live by the law, but you will die by it. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving and merciful God, this is a truth we need to hold on to with all that we have. A truth that you gave so strongly to Paul that he got to write down, that we may read it today and get the assurance that comes from knowing that you have indeed called us to be your children, that we are safe in your hands, that you will never let us go. We pray, Lord, that we may live a life that truly reflects our true belief and our trust in the way that Abraham trusted you, Lord. We pray that we may stand strong and defend the wonderful truth that you have given us, the inheritance that we have through your Son. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.